a special thanks, as always, to our on-site engineer and producer, Jake Robinson, and to our Learfield studio technician, Kyle Cross. We do have a time change for Wednesday's Indiana Northwestern basketball game. The Hoosiers will play on Wednesday at Evanston at 4:30 in the afternoon with our pregame show. 5:30 will to be tip time. That game moved from 9 o'clock at night down to 4:30. So we hope you'll join us then. And we'll be back next week with Inside IU Basketball with Archie Miller. Thanks for joining us. I'm Don Fisher. So long, everybody. This is Learfield, IMG College.
On the CareSource Radio Network, this has been Inside IU Basketball with Coach Miller. Presented by CommunityCars.com. Shop over 800 vehicles all in one place. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation on the CareSource Radio Network.
Lights up Gainesville Saturday night.
Alley oop pass and the finish by Gordon.
Back-to-back bombs by Trey Mann.
As the Aggies challenge the Gators.
Savion Flagg working. Nice move in the post. Castleton dropping dimes to Omar Page.
Texas A&M versus Florida. Saturday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network. And streaming live on the ESPN app.
ESPN 97.7 WREF, Sebring, Henderson, and Evansville. ESPN 97.7 The Ref.
ESPN 97.7 The Ref presents Stan Girard on Basketball, a weekly inside look into the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program, featuring comments from the coach and a member of this year's USI team. Stan Girard on Basketball is being brought to you by Tironi's, Allstott Office City, Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agency. Now with USI head coach Stan Girard, here's the host of the show, ESPN's Dan Agurski.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Stan Girard on Basketball here on ESPN 97.7 FM. The Ref with you until 8 o'clock tonight, live here at Tironi's on Main Street, live show, second consecutive week we've been here, and appreciate all of you coming by tonight, being with us and joining us here for the next 60 minutes talking USI basketball. I've got a special guest, Michael Rogers, will be joining us in a little bit. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm calm now. I had a long weekend.
Wow.
And I'm sure everybody feels my pain. We had two great wins on Friday, Saturday, back-to-back games, but the Saturday show was something I'll never forget.
All right, well, I'm gonna let you in on a secret. I think the people that you know in this room, the ones that you don't, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this group. There are two things. Number one, you know, we got like a winter storm watch or whatever we have out tonight, okay? Rain, sleet, snow does not deter this group at all. We have been to Kenosha, Wisconsin, 20 mile an hour or 20 below wind chill, a foot of snow on the ground, and these people are at Parkside watching USI basketball.
The best fans in the world, man. I don't care what nobody say. And I remember a lot of these people that are in the room with us tonight from back in my playing days.
Yeah.
And they're still with us. That means we're doing something right on our end. We greatly appreciate them. You know, I can't thank them enough. You know, the past 12 years, a lot of these people were not my friends because we were trying to – I was trying to create some type of separation here because I wanted to win, so I wanted to beat USI so bad. So I love you guys from a distance. That's what it is. But now I'm on the right side, and I'm happy to be here and happy these men and women have my back.
Well, I tell you what, they do, because when I got in here tonight, the first thing that they wanted to talk about was obviously what we're going to talk about here in just a second. But when anybody says anything against USI Athletics, and I don't care if it's basketball or what sport it is, they better not find out about it because their memories go way back. They don't forgive easy.
Good.
So
I don't either.
You can kind of take it from here. We've talked a little bit about it. Just kind of bring us up to date on,
well,
obviously on Saturday.
Let me first say this. I talked to my team today about what happened in Wisconsin. Wow. In Kansas City. And I will always have my guys back. Now, I will praise them when they're doing right, but I'm also going to get on them when they're doing wrong. And fortunately, we were not in the wrong. And I went back and looked at the tape just to make sure I listened to the game. And it sickened me that someone would say something, some of the things that were said about someone else's children. Now, I talked to John Mark. I talked to the president today. And I addressed my team. And I start with the team first. I told our team that you can't control people. You know, people will sometimes say or do things that's out of your control. But at the end of the day, I have their back. And you heard my frustration after the game on the radio because I received a number of text messages about how they were portraying our team. And anybody that knows me, even in this room or my family, know that I don't have guys around like that in my circle on my basketball team. And I told our team, there's three things you don't mess with. You don't mess with my money. Did I say that, Mike? I said, you don't mess with my family or my basketball team. And you guys who watched the game, I'm sure you saw me after the game still dealing with all the things we endured. And it started before the game. There was a number, and I won't go in detail, but it just started before the game where something as simple as the time on the clock was not right, and we asked about it, and it went south from there. During the game, there was a couple of things that happened. You guys didn't see it, but some things that were said to me by the other team's student-athlete, I wasn't happy. I actually called a timeout and tried to talk to the coach about what this young man said to me, and the coach kind of laughed. And I tell you, if it was one of my guys saying what this kid said to me, I would have taken him out of the game and there would have been an apology. And you guys, you heard the commentators. We were accused of pretty much being thugs, and that's how I took it. I don't know how you guys took it. They accused us of throwing up gang signals. We don't have a kid like that. You met our kids, and you've been around them, and you met the families. And I think the one guy they were particularly talking about was Elijah Jones. He's a freshman. And every time we make a shot, he stands up and throws up the three-point, or he'll do this, and that's basketball. You see that on everybody's bench. And I don't know what that guy was seeing. He may have had some glasses on that was seeing something different, but that's not the USI way, and it never will be. And it was just sickening, man. I got on the bus, and I wanted to hear for myself. And we got back at, about 2 in the morning. I couldn't sleep because I was disturbed by the comments. So I spent, 2.5 – I went to bed at 4:30 in the morning putting the report together because I wanted it to get into the right hand so that some actions could be taken. And when we were called jerks, we were accused of – what did he say, bring a baseball
bat? Bring a baseball bat.
Unreal. And the other thing, I think it was an out-of-bounds, the ball was out-of-bounds, and Clayton tried to throw the ball on their kids so they can be out on them, and he accused us. That's basketball. And it's disappointing, but you know what? I use this as a learning tool for my student-athletes, you know. We can sit here and make excuses or feel sorry for ourselves, but that's not going to do us any good. This world we live in, there's a lot of people like that, but at the same time, we won't entertain that. So we talked about it as a team. I'm starting to get emails now from the people over there with some apologizing. But again, I told John Mark this. If it was a student during the game, I told John Mark this yesterday. I said, if it's a young man, a student during the game, then let's bring that kid in. Let's teach him the way how to come in the next game, how to do that. I understand the bias towards your team, but if it's a student, then let's bring him in. Let's talk to him. And we don't want to take away the kid's opportunity to be a broadcaster. I think there's some teaching in there. But I found out that this guy was 50 years old and had 20 years of experience at that position. So that was at that point, my whole attitude changed. I don't think he deserves a spot in radio, whether it's my team or any team he's doing. You're talking this way about someone's kids. And it's sad, but we learning from it. We use it as a learning tool, and hopefully our guys understand where I was coming from today. And that's it. I told John Mark after today, because I knew I was going to talk about it tonight. I want to put it behind me. And again, if it happens again, I'm going to react the same way I did after the game. I will not change, because we would not allow anyone to degrade us in the way that this guy did. during the game, and I won't even give him the liberty of saying his name because he's not worthy of that. It wasn't fair to these young men, or our team, or anybody who's listening. That was just not the right way to go about doing that basketball game.
Well, and the thing of it is, I mean, we saw it Friday night at the end of the game. I mean, this is obviously a very, very competitive league, and his great teams at Indianapolis, obviously USI. I mean, these are teams that compete for championships year in and year out. And I think teams like Rackhurst, William Jewell, and some of these other teams kind of aspire to kind of be where USI and some of the elite teams in this league are. But Rockhurst, especially games over there. I mean, the people that have been there, but it's a very, very small gym.
It's a hockey arena, right?
Yeah.
Old hockey arena, I do believe.
No, it is. It's like, half of them a hockey arena because it doesn't seem like it. I mean, it looks like a high school gym, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a program that right now, they play very physical. We saw it at home. You guys have seen it the last couple of years under this coach. And I just think this is – could be the start, and probably already started, a pretty good rivalry between these two teams. Because USI certainly had their number. They've played them 22 times. USI has won 19 of them. But they play very physical. The play where Josh got his shoulder kind of tangled up, I didn't look at the film, but I just know that young man that was guarding Josh most of the night, he's a very physical player, but I don't. Maybe it was a clean play stand. I tried to think back of it, but I don't think it was. But again, that's all part of basketball. Basketball is a physical game, and the officials got to get control of it early in the game. These guys, I thought for the most part Saturday were okay. There were parts where I think Mateo at one time darn near got tackled, and the ball got taken away from him, and like, okay, this is kind of turned into a rugby match as opposed to a basketball game, but it's just all part of it, and I think that this Rockhurst USI rivalry is going to probably just get a little bit more intense.
It just heated up, Dan.
Yeah,
that's what just happened.
I'm not sure if it's at the USI Bellarmine level yet, but I think it's on its way.
Well, listen, and I tell our young men all the time, every team we play against, every kid we play against, they want to be here, right or wrong, they want to be here. You look at our facilities and the things we have in place here. You think about when Rockhurst came here, when they played us in their very first game. I don't think they ever been in a new arena. No. They was walking in, looking around like, wow. So a lot of these young men who we play against, they want to play at USI because of the facilities. And that's what a lot of guys go to school for. When they go to school, they look at facilities. And a lot of those guys think they can play here. And a lot of them can, but a lot of them cannot. And that's the chip they have on their shoulder. They play hard. Yeah, they play hard. It was like that last year. We had similar situations with those guys last year when I was at Indy, not to this magnitude, but it was pretty bad. And we just played through it. I feel like some of the play that you saw, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I feel like some of the plays were directed at Josh Price. Even once Josh got hurt, I think his arm, his shoulder was hit every time at that point. If you guys watch the game, Laura Heline, our athletic trainer, she got a warning from the official to sit down because she was complaining about how every time Josh just seemed to keep getting hit in the shoulder. And when the trainer gets a warning, I had to go down and say, hey, you cannot get a technical foul. We need our points. But when she sees it, who don't know very much about basketball or the physical play, it's obvious. And, thank God, Josh was able to finish the game, but he finished the game with one arm. The only thing he started doing at that, he couldn't score anymore, but he started blocking shots.
Yeah.
And, he blocked some big shots down the stretch for us. And, the game was physical, on both sides. And sometimes you have to adjust to the way the game is called. And I think our guys saw that, okay, this is how it's going to be. And we adjusted. And then at that one, once we adjusted, we were called dirty. And, it's just part of the game. You have to adjust to the game. But I wish the officials would have got control because now we don't know the status of Josh Price for this week. So that's unfortunate.
All right, well, I was going to ask you that before we get to break and talk about the game. So obviously, Glenn Ryle, dealing with some back issues the last couple of years. He gets off the bus 7 hours to William Jewell the other day, and you could just see him practice on Thursday. I mean, he was ginger, could barely walk up and down the floor. And so, he was out. I think he played a couple of series Friday night, And so he was not available Saturday. You know, Josh finished the last 8 or 9 minutes basically playing with one arm.
Keyshawn Casey was out. Yeah, he didn't travel. Yep, he was out.
So, I mean, you guys were so kind of bring us up and in on the overall health of this team as we get ready for Quincy on Wednesday.
At this point in the season, everybody has injuries, nagging injuries, of course. I think Josh's is pretty serious. You know, he can't get a full range of motion. And it was kind of along the lines of Mateo's injury earlier in the season. He's almost getting above his head, so we're going to keep working on him. So we'll see. Of course, Keyshawn Casey didn't travel with us last week, due to health issues, and he's back, but he's still got to get cleared, to get back on the court. Other than that, you know, Glenn has a back like mine, man. He's an old man, I tell him. And, he's doing okay. He was able to walk a little better today. That bus ride didn't do him any good. We maybe should have thought twice about taking him on a trip and let him stay back, but you live and learn. But he's moving around today, and I think he'd be a game-time decision this week. Who else? Tyler Martin, of course, is still dealing with the ankle injury. Other than that, I think everybody's healthy, you know. I think we're in a good place. I like where this team's at right now. We've been through a lot. You think about the rocky start of losing our first game. Like I said last week, I thought I was going to call my moving company and send me back to Indy when we lost that first game, but thank God these guys responded to what we were preaching from day one. We lose a huge part of our team, and I think our team has gotten better. We're playing better. I think the chemistry is better. I think we're sharing the ball better. It's just a different vibe on this basketball team, in a good way, compared to what it was a few weeks ago before Springfield. And I think you see it in our guys' play and how these guys are now acting. It's a fun group to be around, and I'm just proud to be their leader.
Yeah, they still dog me every practice I go to. There's something about whatever I'm doing or not doing. But, I mean, they're a good group of guys, and I enjoy being around them when we're on the road. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the two games at Jewel and Rockhurst. When we return, Michael Rogers is going to join us as well. This is Stan Girard on Basketball Live here at Taroni's on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Taroni's. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Taroni's. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party at Taroni's.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto insurance today.
Welcome back to Taroni's here on Main Street. Stan Girard on basketball with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Talking about another road trip that saw the team in Kansas City both Friday and Saturday. And again, the reason the game was on Friday is because the Eagles had to quarantine for 7 days and then have 5 days following the quarantine before they could get back on the court. And so Coach McCabe was gracious enough to push the game back to Friday for USI, and they certainly played Saturday afternoon as well. Both games were at home, but the Eagles get to Liberty on Friday, Coach, and obviously a little bit of a different starting lineup with Tyler Henry now in that backcourt with Mateo. You're basically going with four guards, although Jelani and Clayton can kind of, you know, be a small forward at times, and certainly both those guys had really good games this weekend defensively, blocking shots and everything else. But it was certainly Josh Price's night again. I think he had 23 against William Jewell back here Thanksgiving weekend. And from a physical standpoint, they just didn't have anybody to match up with Josh, and you guys were able to take advantage of that and had another monster game of 34 points, 12 rebounds in the game, and certainly you took advantage of that opportunity.
Well, he had a chance to go for 36, and he decided to throw it off the backboard for a slam dunk to Jelani. And I told him at the end of the year he's going to have 999 points, and that one basket is going to cost him 1,000. So, but they were having fun. Josh, every game we look at matchups, and we always try to see who we can exploit. In this particular game, we exploited Wiley, their 6'5" center against 6'8", 250 pound Josh Price, and our goal that game on the offensive end was throw the ball inside and play through Josh. And it was harder for those guys to double because you have Tyler Henry out there, Mateo, Clayton, and Jelani. You put four shooters around the big, it's almost impossible to double if you make the right read. And Josh was spectacular. 34 points, and he rebounded. He did some great things for us. He tends to drift on the perimeter a little too much. But I made a promise to Josh, if you can give me, for every three back-to-the-basket post moves, you can shoot a jump shot. And that's our agreement. And now he's making threes, man. I can't tell him anything. But it was a total team effort. You know, you look at the guys on our team, they're making the ultimate sacrifice for each other now. We didn't have that a few weeks ago. And they realized we had a game plan to throw the ball inside to Josh, and we did that. We always count post touches during the game. He touched the ball in the post 28 times in the game. What was his numbers, Dan, from the field?
13 of 22. 2-4 from the three.
So he did a great job. His percentages were great. He caught the ball very deep, and he was finishing rather through contact. And, you know, we had a couple other guys in double figures, Jelani and Clayton. And but the defensive end is what I'm most proud of. I always tell our guys, if we can guard, we'll have a chance. Now, we didn't finish the game very well. We turned it over late. But I feel like we defended very well in both games, especially on Saturday. I think we gave up 57 points at Rockhurst. And our goal every game is the whole team's under 70 points. And Jewel scored 71. And Rockhurst scores 57. So the defensive end, that's what's going to get us to the next level in terms of from a team standpoint. And we're going to keep talking about defense on this basketball team.
So I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in the Great Lakes Valley Conference, you guys are the number one team as far as points allowed. You've been giving up the fewest number of points.
Yes.
You're number one in the league. So, I mean, you stress defense, and again, you know, you want to come back and bring back the, you know, up-tempo style of ball that you played, and I think this team is getting where you want it to be offensively. Shooting has really picked up and increased over the last couple of weeks. I mean, shoot better than 50% the second half, the last two ball games, and that 44 number.
That's happened a few times.
I said that on Friday night. Yeah. Of five of the last six halves, USI has scored 44 points. You score 44 points and a half most nights. One or two, I mean, you're not going to get beat. So, I mean, the offense is coming around. The defense, certainly the rebounding, it's the number one rebounding team of the league. That, again, defense. And so you're stressing defense, and these guys are buying in on that end of the floor.
I feel like in the preseason, and when Mike gets on the show, he'll tell you, they couldn't play enough defense. I mean, it was – we didn't know what offense was at the beginning of the season. And it was – defensive shell. It was man a hole. It was one-on-one rebounding. It was defense, defense, defense. And they thought I was Coach Carter from the movie. And they finally, you know, are now reaping the benefits of what we talked about early on. You know, we wanted to be in the best shape of any team in the league. We also wanted to be the best defensive team in the league. And that's a beautiful thing because your offense is going to struggle sometime. And you heard me tell our guys last week before we went on that trip, I said, we're going to pack our books so we can have study hall, and we're going to pack our defense. You know, if you don't bring those two things, then do not get on this bus. And we studied on the road, but we also packed our defense, and it carried us home both games.
Well, especially, you know, again, we go back to that trend the last 4 minutes of that William Jewell game. USI had a 16-point lead in the second half of that game, but although it got down to a one-possession game with 2:29 left to go, kind of like Springfield, kind of like Southwest Baptist and a few of these other games, and the team never did relinquish the lead and then made some key free throws and, as you said, some defensive stops. I don't know how many possessions that Jewell had in the last 3 or 4 minutes where they did not convert, but when you guys needed to stop, needed to hit some free throws, the team was able to do that.
Yeah, and that's the area we got to improve in. We got to close guys out. 16-point lead, what I think was 5:43 in that ballpark, and we started to take our foot off the gas pedal. We was careless with the basketball. We call a timeout and talk about the press break, and we turn it over, and I'm glad I don't have any hair because it'd be gray. But we have to do a better job of closing teams out. You know, we extended the lead a couple times in the double digits, but we tend to relax and let other teams get back. At first, in the beginning of the season, our problems was the way we started basketball games. Now, we corrected that problem. Now, it's taking care of the basketball late. Now, I told our guys on Saturday in film, I think a lot of our mistakes that we're making late in the game are mental fatigue errors because look at the minutes. You know, we guys are logging some minutes, yeah. And we have to bring some other guys along so that we can eliminate Mateo playing 34 minutes, Josh playing 36. I think that's going to bite us later on. So as we proceed, I hope to get some other guys around the 10-15 minute mark so we can get some of these guys off their feet. You know, we couldn't practice today physically because those guys are beat. And we just got to do a better job of managing minutes here down the stretch.
Well, and you're, again, a little bit of a depleted bench with Glenn not available, Kashawn not on the trip. And but especially Saturday's game with Rockhurst, I mean, Tyler Dancy coming off the bench, Keegan O'Neill coming off the bench. You know, Tyler got in some foul trouble, Josh got in some foul trouble. You know, and Keegan had to come in and did a really good job. He got in, but you got everybody that went on the trip got in Friday. And I think everybody, maybe except one player, everybody that was on the trip got in Saturday as well. So, yes. I mean, that obviously, from some of these kids that have these different roles, has to make them feel good that, you know, they're playing some important minutes in these games in the second half. And for the most part, they have responded positively.
They have. And that's what team's all about, man. You have to, everybody has a job to do. You know, everybody's job is not to score. You know, we have some guys, their role is to be a defender. Their other guys' role is to be a shooter. But when you have a team with the makeup of the team we have right now, we have a lot of guys that can score the basketball. You know, you take a guy like, let's just say, Tyler Henry, who averaged 15 points at Lane College before he came here. He is asserted himself on the defensive end of the court. You know, he's guarding the other team's best guard every single night, and he shuts them down for the most part. So guys are making the ultimate sacrifice. You know, when it's your night, we'll get you the ball, but, you know, sometimes it's just not some guys' night, and we always tell them you can still impact a basketball game without making a basket. And that's where, you know, guys like Tyler and Mike and Elijah Jones and those guys are doing. I in the locker room today before the game, we always, as coaches, talk about the guys who score the points, you know, and that's easy to do, but we had to recognize today before practice the guys that are doing the other things. That's the guys who don't play very much, but those guys prepare us for games every single day with the scout, you know, and honestly, our scout team, a lot of times they beat the starters in practice, and I get frustrated at the starters because I don't think it should happen, but we have a good secondary group in there, and it's going to get even better once Jacob Polakovich gets healthy because he's different. He's different, and I'll leave it at that. But our second group of guys, they grafted that first group because they want to be in those shoes, and it's super competitive every day, and that's what practice is supposed to be.
All right, so you get the win on Friday night. You know, again, the Jewel, you look at them, okay, they had three wins, but, you know, they had a big win against Drury early last week. So, I mean, this is a team that, you know, you can't take them for granted. USI certainly did not, got a win, and then kind of turned their attention to Rockhurst, a team that came in here back in Thanksgiving weekend and won by 11, shot the lights out. And two guys, you talk about defense for Rockhurst, two guys, Curtis Lewis, their point guard, and Thomas Hamill, Chris Hamill, another guard. Those guys combined for 45 points back here on Thanksgiving weekend. Saturday, those two guys combined for 12. So, I mean, obviously they knew where the shooters were. Tyler was on them. Chance was on Lewis. Hamill didn't get a whole lot of good looks. You know, a lot of his points, five of them came from the free throw line. So, I mean, it was again, a total team effort by this basketball team. Second half, dealing with everything that was going on, and to get out of there with a 10-point win was a huge, huge accomplishment.
It was, and I'm proud of our guys. You know, in game one, we had a lot going on, man. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. We had a lot going on internally with this basketball team, and we just was not where we are today. You know, and I know Rome was not built in one day. It takes a while to build culture, but we had a lot going on, probably too much. And it's to a point now where I think these guys are now starting to believe in the whole system, not just the parts that are easy. And I think our best basketball is ahead of us. And I'm not just saying, I think our best is ahead of us. And I told you guys last week, I circled this Rockhurst game on my calendar because it took us to the woodshed last time they were here. It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed, and I told our guys that, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit it. You know, I felt like we failed our university, and I felt like I didn't do my part. I feel like there was more, and I took that very seriously. And I circled that date on my calendar. I have watched that Rockhurst game at least 15 times since we played it. And I've watched the Indy game when we played at Indy at least 15 times. I hate losing, seriously. And when I played here at USI, when I was a student athlete, when I lost, I cried. And tears. And I'm almost to that point now. You know, I hate losing. And I told Dan a couple nights ago when we lost at Indy, I didn't eat on the way home. We drove back from Indy. I couldn't eat. And that's just who I am. And this game against Rockhurst, I circled on my calendar because there were some things I wanted to do different. Is that Andy Griffin? Okay, Barbara. That's Barbara. That's Barbara's ringtone to Andy Griffin. I love it. That's okay. We won't find you this time. But I circled this date on my calendar, and I didn't like the way they beat us because they came here with a mission, and they, you know, you tip your hat off to those guys. They were great. But the way they did it, you know, I felt like it was they scored, they cheered in front of our bench. They talked to our guys, and our guys remember that as well. That's why the game was so chippy the other day. But anytime you come to USI and win, you better appreciate it because it's not going to happen very much under my dime. And we had that game on our calendar, man, and we made sure we were competitive and ready to go. And I'll say this publicly, I got to give a lot of credit. I can't take credit. My assistant coaches, man, those dudes up in the wee hours, they came to my room Friday night to watch.
Your coaching staff averages about 3.5 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah. They came to my room after the game on Friday night, and we bought in some Gates Barbecue, Kansas City's finest. And we sitting there, and if you ever come to my room, what's that heat on, about 85 or 90?
God. I can't stand going in this room.
It's hot. It's hot. Oh. And we sitting there, and we have it on the TV, and I'm good for about 2 hours of watching film. I really focus on our guys versus the other team. I want to see what they're running. It takes me about 20 minutes to figure them out. I just need to see their personnel and tendencies, and I think we'll be good. But after 2 hours of watching film Friday night, I'm dozing off, and I'm hot, and those guys are sweating because my room was 85 degrees. I'm like, all right, guys, you guys got to get out. So they go down to their room. I think they're going to sleep. So I take naps. I'll sleep for about 2 hours and wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I want to watch film at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I text John and Kevin, they're still up watching film. So I said, well, come back up. So they came back up to my room. I'm on the 12th floor. They down on the 8th. They came back up, and I thought we watched for 20 more minutes. I said, all right, I'm done. So they go back down, and John was like, I'll just airdrop you some games because you're going to call us at 6 a.m. So I was up at 5:30 again in the morning watching film. And my mind was wandering, but I wanted to do some different things. But my coaching staff, man, down to the managers, those guys don't sleep. And they do the advanced scouting, and they have us ready to go. And kudos goes to those guys, man, because I'm not a tough person to deal with, but I'm demanding sometimes in terms of preparation. And those guys always have us ready to go.
Well, I don't have to worry about Stan ever coming to my room to watch tape. I keep mine at 65.
I remember doing the radio. We did in Quincy. We did the radio show in Quincy.
Yeah.
And my feet were freezing, man. It was cold in there, man. Dan had that. It was cold. Yeah. So anyway, before we get Mike, we have a commercial coming up.
Well, I just want to talk very briefly about. We talked about O'Neal, but Tyler Danson. I mean, here's a guy that, again, with Price a little bit in foul trouble in the second half, and obviously it's a 2 or 3 possession game, and USI needed a spark from somebody. And here comes Tyler Danson. He comes in, scores 11 points, which I think is a career high.
In 10 minutes.
Yeah, but 9 points in a row. Yeah. And that patent move that he's got inside, I mean, the kids, you know, we did the postgame show, and Stan said, what's his free throw percentage? I mean, he's like at 80%. I mean, how many centers do you know that shoot 80%?
That's very rare.
But, I mean, this guy was the spark that USI needed on Saturday in the second half, because when he got going, he just kind of put the team on his shoulders a little bit for 3 or 4 minutes, and I think that was kind of the spark he needed in the second half.
And I tell you what, he was great for us because Josh was down. You know, we always talk about in the game, Josh, you're going to go in, you're going to beat the guy up. And Tyler Danson, your job is to come in and finish him off. And Tyler Danson was, you saw the rebounds. Yeah. Those guys were bouncing off his body. And he made a couple of baskets and started feeling good. He ran the floor. I mean, he's probably the biggest guy out there, and he's beating 6'5" guys down the court for layups. And he got a huge rebound and got an N1 and made his free throw. And I'm like, wow, this kid is pretty good. And it's just a joy to have. He's such a – I was going to bring him on the show tonight, but he has class. I told Dan he was the Subway sub of the game because he got us over the hump. And again, man, I can't say everybody always embraced their role in this team and step up to the challenges of what's in front of them. And I can't be happier, man. We're in a good place for our team. I think we're still in first place in our division, and we're 0.4. Aldridge did the math. We're 0.43 points out of first place overall in the league. And that's something to be proud of. And we have a chance now to take over first place in the conference. 6 of our last 10 are at home, and we're right behind Truman State, and they got to come to Evansville, and we cannot wait, man, because we let one go there, and I think that's next week, right, Dan?
A week from today.
That's right, a week from today. So,
all right, we'll take a break. Michael Rogers, young man from Evansville. Harrison, by way of Vincennes, will join us. We come back. We're live here at Taroni's. Stan Gerard on basketball here on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise
at Taroni's.
Ain't nothing but a pizza party
at Taroni's.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road.
All right.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right.
Pizza party at Taroni's.
Your single source for workplace supplies. All stars.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit, We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
I'm going to give Martin a hard time. He's going to be 2 weeks in the interview.
All right, welcome back. Stan Gerard on basketball here on this Monday night. We're live at Tarani's until 8 o'clock. And some of you were asking when I got in here tonight if we're going to do a show again next week. And, again, I think the plan is for right now to be back here. I mean, the team plays at 3 o'clock on Monday. It's President's Day next week. We should be out of the gym by 5:30, quarter to 6. Our plan is to come back next week from 7 until 8 o'clock. But as I told you, this team gets tested every Monday. So, you know, we'll play it by ear. But right now, plan on another show here next Monday night. And obviously, we've got a few empty seats here, so a few more people. Our accommodations, we can fit up to 40 people back here. So I think tonight we got 20 or 22. So we got room for about another 15 more. But, again, plan on it next week.
Martin Woodruff, I know he's listening. I'm going to text him when we get done. He's been complaining or asking about the show, and he's not here 2 weeks in a row. So he's going to get a call from me.
Okay.
All right.
Good deal. Fair enough. All right, Michael Rogers is going to join us here. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to be part of the show.
Well, hey, I'm glad you're coming down here to be a part of it. And just before, kind of it's been our custom over the years, Michael, when somebody's here for the first time, obviously, this year was so different. I mean, these fans would all embrace you if they had a chance to come to the games. But maybe just spend a minute or two talking about kind of growing up. I know you're from Evansville, went to Harrison, and so fans can kind of get to know who you are.
Right. Okay, I'm Michael Rogers. You know,
everybody knows that, Mike.
I'm from Evansville, Indiana. I went to Harrison High School 4 years. I played basketball, football, and ran track over there. And then after that, after I graduated, I went to Texas. I went to Ranger Junior College for a year. And there I redshirted because I broke my foot around Thanksgiving. So I just spent a year around there. And then after that, I transferred to Vincennes University, where I spent 2 years there. My freshman year, I won a national championship there. And we beat my old school, Ranger Junior College, there in the national championship.
That's awesome.
Good deal.
So that was kind of a cool experience. And then my sophomore year, it was cut short because of COVID. We made our run at the national tournament. And then this summer, made my way to USI. Being from Evansville, I'm just glad to be a part of the program because I always followed it up as a kid and everything.
All right, so that was going to be my next question, Michael. After, you know, you go to Vincennes, so then you've got a decision to make.
Right.
And obviously this program is in a transition from Coach Watson. How close did you follow the team maybe last year, and when did you make that decision, and what led you to make that decision to come and be a part of this year's team?
I watched USI basketball quite a lot. Even when I was at Vincennes, I paid attention to the teams in the recent years. So the decision was kind of easy to come here, especially with the new coaching change with Coach G coming. He won a national championship here back in the 90s, so that's the same goal as mine. I want to win a national championship this year, so I feel like he can lead us that way this year and in the future years. So the decision was kind of easy. I made it about midsummer.
So tell us about maybe the first conversation you had. Did you contact Coach or did he contact you? How did you guys come together?
I got in contact with him. Well, kind of my coach, Ty Franklin at Vincennes, he got me in contact with him and gave me his number. And so I gave him a call and kind of just went from there.
So what was that like? I mean, because, you know, we've known him for a long time and we know how competitive he is. He's coming in and you know, nobody can do anything in April, May, and June because everybody's on lockdown and everything. So how did that go? And what was his, when you said, hey, I'm interested in maybe being a part of the program, Do you remember how those first couple of questions were answered by him?
Right. He said he'll get back to me, of course, but it just kind of, we talked constantly throughout the summer, and then I kind of just made the decision just to join the team and just went on from there. But it was kind of weird with COVID going on. I couldn't visit the campus or talk to him in person or anything, so it was just kind of weird. But I trust him, and it was just the decision to come here was easy.
So when you had a chance then to finally meet this team and go through some workouts, whether that was in the summer, early fall, what was that like?
It was great. It was just great to play basketball with a team again because of COVID, you know, cut the season short last year. So it was just great, and all the guys were great, and we just bonded from the jump, really. So it was kind of...
You know, obviously in life, in business, sports, school, I mean, you have to sell yourself.
Right.
So you talked to him, and he said, hey, I'll kind of get back to you. That's probably, you know, not putting words in his mouth, they're probably a standard response. You know, I really don't know who Michael Rogers is, but, hey, I'll get back with you. So what do you think led Coach Girard to say, eventually say, Michael, we've got a spot on our basketball team for you?
I'll say just the film and then just like the resume I have in college, just coming from Vincent, so I won a national title there. So I was like, I'll try to be a winner, but.
And then it's just as far as your game.
Right.
What do you think he saw in your game, offensively, defensively, attitude on the floor when he watched that film? What do you think was maybe the deciding factor for him to give you a chance?
Mainly defense. Defense, hustle plays, just sacrificing for the team and doing whatever it takes for the team to win. And I'll say my 3-point jumper.
May I?
It's your show. Your name's on this show, not mine.
Mike reached out to me, and you know, I did say I'd get back. I had to do a background check. I wanted to know the academics we talked about. You know, how are your grades? That check, you know. And then I wanted to know about his character. You know, we always stress academics first, character, basketball last. And he checked those three boxes. And so Coach Franklin and I, we talked quite a bit. And we talked about him, like, okay, what are his habits in practice? You know, is he one of those guys that's going to wait his turn, or is he going to be on the bench pouting? And he said Mike is going to work hard. No one's going to outwork him. He said Mike is going to be a great representation of your team. And he was spot on. Mike probably should be playing more, you know. But you know what? The few minutes he gets, if you remember early in the season before those other guys came back, Mike was our spark plug. He came in and did some great things for us, and he said his 3-point shot. He makes it. He makes it. He does. He's. I remember, what was that, at Springfield or Lewis? He got in, and we were struggling, and Mike drops a corner three, and he can shoot it. And I think, you know, in going forward, I would like to see him on the court more. As we talk about, you know, decreasing some guys' minutes, but he's an Evansville native. And when we started talking with our team, I talked to you guys about some of our internal issues with our team. We had a roundtable discussion with our team, and it got to Mike. And he didn't play here. He has the same passion for USI as I do. You know, just listening to him talk about how he grew up. I think he came to camps here, right? Came to camps here when he was a kid, and he always said he didn't see the other school in town I won't name. He always, when it came to college basketball, it wasn't those guys. It wasn't the purple. It was the red, white, and blue.
Right.
And I'm serious when I say this. This dude's passion for USI is on the same level as mine. He loves USI, and I think he's representing us in a positive way. I'm going to take that steak later on, okay? All right, but carry on, man. You got it, man. Go ahead.
So, ribeye. So your role on this team, and I'll go back to another play. It was the season opening game with Rockers.
There it is. Yep.
You came in, you hit a three, like your first or second shot, and that just kind of jumped that team because we were down at that point like 18, 20 points.
21.
And your jump shot started the run that got it all the way down to 2 points at the half. And I'm just saying, okay, this guy brings instant energy to the floor. You know, kind of you, and I don't know, you know, how close you are with Chance, but you guys remind me of each other because you come in and your defense jump starts this offense. And so your role, you know, a star at Vincennes, a star at Harrison, you come to this team with a bunch of stars on it, and your minutes aren't probably where they want to be, but a credit to you, Michael, that, you know what, you're buying in to this team to be a part of something we hope is going to be very special here in a couple of months. But how do you get along with the guys?
I get along well, just find a jump.
All right, so now I have to ask you, I have to ask you how you get along with these guys. Take us through that day in practice where surgery was required shortly after that.
Ooh, yeah. So we were doing box out drills with a box and break, we call it. So I went up for a rebound, and me and Elijah got tangled up. Like, we both got the rebound at the same time. And this, all of a sudden, his elbows just get to swinging and just crack me in my nose. And I never, like, sometimes, like, in movies or cartoons, when you break a bone, like, you hear the crack. Like, that's the first time, like, I ever witnessed a bone crack, and, like, you can actually hear it. And it happened to be myself. And I didn't want to believe it at first. I got up and started running, and then our assistant coach, Coach Brew, was like, "No, Mike, get down, you're bleeding," because I never had a nosebleed in my life.
He said, "You're leaking."
He said, "I'm leaking."
He said, "You're leaking." That's what he told me.
Leaking. I never had a nosebleed in my life, so that was the first time I experienced that. I had a gash on top of my nose, so I was bleeding from that, and I was bleeding from inside of my nose, so that's what happened then. It was just, whew.
So did you tell me, though, that after that happened, he didn't want to come off the court?
No,
still wanted to play?
He did not. He started running back down the court. I'm like, Spruce, like, you got to get out. But that's just the toughness of Mike, man. He's a tough guy. Right. And he's like me, man. If I get hurt, man, you're not going to see me hurt. I'm going to wait till I get home in the locker room and start showing my weakness.
But
no, you cannot show your weakness, man. And he tried all he could, man, but that was pretty bad. I mean, his nose was
crooked.
Yeah. It wasn't straight. Yeah. And I told him he looks better with the broken nose. I gave him a hard time. But we always joke with Mike in practice, and he's a comedian. He'll crack a few jokes under his breath. But let me say this: I'm proud of Mike in the classroom. What's your major, Mike?
Business administration.
3.0 GPA this semester, so that's something to be proud of.
Thank you.
And I'll say this, parents, the apple don't fall far from the tree, man. I know mom and dad is on him in the classroom, you know, and he works his butt off in the classroom. We have a rule with study hall based on your GPA, and Mike tested out of study hall because he had over three. Anybody under 3.0 does not have to come to study hall every day, and Mike and about three or four of the guys are not in study hall because of the 3.0 GPA. So that's something to be proud of, and I would brag on that more than basketball. So
sir,
that's pretty awesome.
So would you prefer Michael or Mike on the air?
Big Mike.
Or Mike, yeah, Mike.
Mike, all right.
Short and sweet.
A lot of names in private. We'll call him Big Mike or Talk Your Trash Mike or Mike Mike. So, there's a lot of names, Mike.
Yeah,
he has a lot of names in practice. But
all right. Look, Mike, I really appreciate you coming by. Mike,
thank
I appreciate you coming by. Thanks so much. And get a couple more wins this week.
Yes, sir, definitely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Mike Rogers joining us here live at Tourney. Stan Jordan Basketball. We'll come back. We'll talk about Quincy when we return here on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Mark Benny and the Main Street Boys making noise. At Tourney. Ain't nothing but a pizza party.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice.
While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto insurance today.
Mark's Mattress Outlet has been your local mattress and adjustable base leader for over 15 years. Mark's offers top name brands like Sealy, and Serta for up to 80% off other store sale prices. Mark's prices are so low we had to promise not to advertise the brand names. Stop in today while selection is best during our King for Your Queen sales event. Bring your truck and trailer and take home your new mattress today. Go to marksmattress.com today for a location near you.
New Sleep Natural luxury brand mattresses are only at Mark's Mattress Outlet. Sleep Natural specializes in temperature neutral and cooling foam technology. With the highest quality at the lowest price in town, check out our full-featured adjustable bases with our soothing massage feature and zero gravity. For the best sleep of your life, go to a Mark's location near you. Click on marksmattress.com for locations. That's marksmattress.com.
Mark's Mattress Outlet.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
No. All right, welcome back to Roadies here on Main Street, Stan Gerardo Basketball. And again, we'll plan on being there next week after the game on Monday. Truman State, a huge game, obviously. But before that, two other games beginning Wednesday with Quincy. This is a makeup game from back in January. So we've got one of the better players in the league in Tanner Stuckman, a guy that about 6'8", 6'9", can shoot the threes. And, you know, going back to that game at Quincy, Stan, it was, again, one of those situations. USI trailed at the half. Had a really good first 15 minutes of the second half, led by double digits. Quincy came back, got it down to a single possession, and then some free throws at the end and able to get out of there with the victory. But this will certainly be a big game. It's a team that's probably not going to be in the GLVC tournament. And it's, you know, we hear in sports a lot of time, you know, a trap game with Jury coming in, Truman coming in. But this is a game certainly all the attention has to be focused on Quincy between now and Wednesday.
Absolutely. And, you know, looking at the GOVC standings, you know, we have a chance to win the conference, you know, if we do our part and someone beats Truman. And every game for us, this is I told our guys, this is go time. You know, this is championship, you know, February is championship month. And this one you solidify your feet or whatever in your postseason. And we cannot overlook anybody. These guys are, what, 5-11? And we cannot overlook these guys because in any given Sunday, someone can beat you. And we have to come into this, and it's mental right now because, like I said, we're not doing many things physically in practice. But our mental approach has to be on point, and we got to understand the details of each and every scout. And Tanner Stuckman, man, this kid is really good. Feel like he's been around the league for about 10 years.
Yeah.
But he's a matchup nightmare because he's a stretch five. He sets a lot of ball screens and he'll pick and pop, and he's taking Josh Tyler Dancy away from the basket. But he can also, not only can he shoot, he can put the ball on the floor. At 6'9", 6'10", that's hard to guard. And, it's going to be a defense on Tanner Stuckman by committee, especially when he puts it on the floor. Our goal with him is, we're going to wear him out as well. You know, I know I talk about how well he shoots it, but guess what? He's got to guard Josh Price and Tyler Dancy. So we're going to pound the ball inside. You know, those shots he may make early, if we keep wearing him down, they shouldn't go in late. So we're going to go after him early and try to get him out of the ball game and make those guys play some of those guys who's not used to playing physical basketball in GLVC.
Well, I think the first time we played him, I think he played the entire game.
Yeah.
And you could just tell, you know, he was looking for a shot the first 30, 34 minutes, but then that last 5 minutes, he wasn't looking for it, and I don't think it was coming, but he was completely out of gas, and this is a team that doesn't have an awful lot of depth. They play about seven players, and so hopefully if, you know, USI has almost their full complement of players. Depth will be a key for the Eagles on Wednesday.
Yeah, they got rid of the other kid, you know, like just like we lost Emmanuel. They got rid of Victor Korakovic.
The other kid. That kid's name was hard to pronounce.
Yeah, you know what? He was hard to guard too, Dan, so I feel your pain, man. But I don't know what happened, but they ended up kicking him off the team about 4 games ago, and they're a man down. But they also have another young man that's a freshman that's coming in his spot, and he's a little more physical. You know, this other kid, he was a shooter. But, you know, again, we're going to defend by committee. You know, it's not going to be one guy. It's going to be a total team effort. And I think, you know, I always tell our guys before the game, you got to cut the head of the snake off. And in this particular case, the head of the snake is Stuckman. You know, we got to get after him early. And, listen, he's going to make some shots early. But like you said, in game one, I think he made 4 in game one, but a lot of those were in the first half. But the last 5 minutes, he had no legs because, you know, we threw the ball inside and we went through his body, you know. And that's, you watch boxing, guys are not as strong as they are in the 12th rounds we're in the first. That's my thing, man. We're gonna wear you out, you know, with our depth and how we're going to attack you at all angles.
All right, so that, you know, Drury's coming in on Saturday, and this is another dangerous team that right now is kind of fighting for their lives, getting in that GLVC tournament. I think they got to play at Rockers tomorrow, but they got to make the long bus trip up here, and of course, Truman. So, I mean, it's just, you know, I was thinking today, I mean, this team has had one home basketball game in 7 weeks.
Yes.
One. Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to just drive out to the west side and do a basketball game instead of, you know, my goodness. But you guys got to be just thrilled to be back home now.
Well, home is where the heart is. And it's good to be back in our familiar territory. And I think, if my memory serves me correct, Dan, were we supposed to play at Southwest Baptist this week?
Yeah, Thursday.
The original plan was to go to Southwest Baptist, drive back Thursday, and then play on Saturday. But when we went into quarantine, we shifted that schedule so we can have fresh legs for this basketball game. I was hoping to win 3 games that week, but we squeaked out of there with 2. But we covered some ground and winning a couple home games. So we had the luxury this week. You know, this is the first week of classes, so guys are first week of in-person classes. So this is great. It worked out great because now all of our guys are able to go to all the in-person classes this week. And we'll play a couple home basketball games.
When's the first region rankings come out? Next week?
You know what? I don't know what's going on from day to day. Seriously, I try to focus so much on our guys. I think it's, if not next week, a week after. And Ray gave me what he thought the region rankings was. He thought it was us, Truman. He thought we would have 4 in and 2 out. There's only 6 teams this year from our region. Now, they are going to take, I think, the GMAC and move those guys to somewhere, I forgot exactly where. So, yeah, so it could be, if we do our part, this would be great for us. If we do our part and make it, and Kentucky West and do their part, we can meet those guys in the national championship game. How awesome would that be? That would be awesome. So, but you know what? We have work to do, you know, and they have work to do. But it's a possibility now that we could see each other later on, and that would be, I would probably retire after we beat Kentucky Wesleyan in the national championship because that's, you know, you guys know how we all feel about those guys, but it would be awesome to meet those guys and put them down.
All right. Well, again, we'll plan on being here next Monday, talk about 3 games. We got Truman State in the afternoon. But
well, if things go well, we got to talk to Tom. I may bring the whole team here after our game on Monday for our post-game meal and for the show. So I think, I'm sure you guys are ready to see them. But the thing we got to do is make sure we keep them distant so that we test every Monday. But I want to bring the whole team here to say hello and thank you guys for your contributions to USI basketball and your support.
All right. We'll see you guys next Monday. Appreciate it. Right. Mike, thanks for coming by tonight. And, Coach, as always, appreciate your time.
Where did the hour go, man? That was, that was.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, see you next Monday. For Stan Gerard, Corey Fenton, our producer, this is USI Basketball on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Ref.
You've been listening to Stan Gerard on Basketball here on ESPN 97.7.